Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is episode 104 of Nintendo World Report's connectivity podcast, Barely Functional Dog Shit. We've got three segments on this week's show for you. First up, Neil and Scott are breaking down This Week in Nintendo. Then they're joined by myself and Zach for a wonderful discussion on The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker HD. And finally, our last segment is a bit of a Pokemon game show. Enjoy the episode.
And welcome to This Week in Nintendo. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and with me this week is Scott Thompson.
Hello!
I like how I say, like, this week, as in I've done this segment any time recently. I have not. Yeah, I basically started this and then ran the fuck away.
This week would have been a good week to run away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm excited for Etrian Odyssey Untold, the Millennium Girl.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, Rune Factory 4.
Sure.
But those are both retail releases that will be available on the eShop the same day that they come out, which is October 1st. So a few days after you're hearing this, likely. We already have a review of Etrian Odyssey Untold up on the site. Justin Baker enjoyed it. It was his first time with the series. He gave it an A5. Read his review for all the nitty-gritty. I think we've talked about this before, Scott, about how you feel about the Etrian Odyssey series. I feel like we talked about this when talking about the demo.
Yeah, because I think the last time you and I were on one of these together, it was right when the demo came out. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, just to reiterate, my feeling is, well, with 4 specifically, because I haven't played many of the others, but 4 I enjoyed, but just coming off of Fire Emblem Awakening, it was like the sort of lack of story and character development kind of didn't pull me in.
and like, I was totally taken by Etrian Odyssey 4. Like, it was even like... I mean, because I was reviewing it for Nintendo Force, and I had to stop playing Fire Emblem Awakening and start playing this because I had a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And I still fell in love with Etrian Odyssey 4, even with that direct Fire Emblem comparison. But I don't know, the more I hear about Etrian Odyssey Untold, I'm kind of, like, I still want to play it, but it just, it runs on the same engine as Etrian Odyssey 4. It's a remake of an earlier game that I don't have any nostalgia for. Right. And the whole story mode seems cool, but that's not really why I was into Etrian Odyssey 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like kind of overall it might be a little bit of a step back. And that's actually from reviews on other websites, not that you should read them or anything. Just kidding.
Don't take your traffic anywhere else.
From people who are series veterans, they seem to think that Etrian Odyssey Untold is a little bit of a step back after 4.
That's what I've heard too, yeah.
I mean, I'll still play it, but I probably won't get as into it as I did 4. Like, 4, I dumped, like, 30 hours into it.
Yeah.
I really dug it. But I doubt I will do that with Etrian Odyssey Untold, but I still want to play it.
Yeah.
And Rune Factory 4, I believe I reviewed a Wii version of this game. I think it was Rune Factory Tides of Destiny. However, it was the game that I reviewed kind of around the same time that I reviewed Skyward Sword. So, while I remember the game being fun, it was totally overwhelmed by Zelda in my mind. Because I think, like, we got the copies on the same day. And then I, you know, went through Zelda and then had this right after it. So, it just kind of paled in comparison. but it was still pretty good. And I've always been intrigued by the series because it, you know, combines the town aspect of Harvest Moon. And, you know, you still get to build relationships and get married and stuff. But then, like, you go and there's dungeon crawling stuff.
Right.
I remember in Tides of Destinies there were some cool-ass golems that you can control. I don't think they're returning in Rune Factory 4.
Is that a make or break for you if the golems are there? Will that...
Nah, I mean, the golems... I mean, they were neat. They weren't that cool. I should probably read my review of the other one and remember my thoughts.
Yeah.
I feel like... I mean, I don't think it's as much that I'm an old man as it is that, like, I've written a lot of reviews for the past couple of years. So there's some games where I'm like, what were my feelings on that? And then I read my review and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But yeah, have you ever had any interest in the Rune Factory series?
Nah, I mean, Rune Factory or Harvest Moon, just neither's really appealed to me. I mean, I know there's a little bit more to Rune Factory, but I'm finding out more and more, especially after, like, trying really hard, like, sincerely hard to get into Animal Crossing this year, that these sort of, like, sim games just don't really appeal to me.
I mean, I got super into Animal Crossing, but While I do have that little bit of an interest in Rune Factory 4, I know it's the kind of game I would probably put like 3 hours into and never touch again.
Yeah, exactly. So no, not doesn't really appeal to me, I guess.
I am interested in, and I think the timing for a lot of these games is shit, because you have an Atlas and an Exceed game coming out on the same fucking day.
Yep.
Pokemon comes out on October 12th, and then Hometown Story, which is the new game from the dude who made Harvest Moon, which kind of looks like it combines stuff like Reseteer with Harvest Moon, which Hometown Story looks really awesome. I checked that out at E3. But that's coming out on October 15th. But 3 days after Pokemon, 2 weeks after these games, like, I don't know what these niche RPG makers are thinking. Like, yeah. It's like, get the fuck out of, get out of the way of your genre's Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a lot of other companies seem to be getting the fuck out of the way of Pokemon.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, I guess I don't know if the thinking was that just as it gets further along, it's going to be harder to release it like more and more into the holiday season. So better now than after Christmas. But
and I think that Rune Factory 4 was a position where I don't think they had any other choice, because that was originally set for August. And it wasn't until like 2 weeks before the release date that they delayed it, because it was just I think it was just localization took longer than they planned.
Yeah.
Because it was a much, I mean, I think they just underestimated it slightly. Obviously not that much, because it's coming out, you know, less than 2 months after the original release date. But yeah, that's it for the 3DS, you know, retail games that you can download. We do have one thing that wasn't mentioned in the press release, but we got an email later. Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition is now on the eShop.
Oh.
It's $20. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's the kind of game that I think I'd consider downloading. Cause,
that's like an impulse buy for sure, yeah.
Yeah. I think Capcom's been doing a real good job of that, because I think like Mercenaries 3D might be like $10, and I think Revelations is $20.
Yeah, that's this kind of price helps a lot. That one had online multiplayer too, didn't it?
Yeah, it was good online multiplayer.
Was it? That's pretty cool.
I also wrote a review on that game and don't remember my exact thoughts, but I remember being very positive about it.
I feel like most people were.
No, I mean, it was. I had a lot of fun, even the online. I mean, it was probably my early memories of really fun online on the 3DS.
Not bad.
All right, so now we're moving on to the 3DS original download games, which there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of them are worth paying attention to, but we will go through them all nonetheless. Carps and Dragons, which is from Abbey Light. It's a fishing game, but it's kind of like, it's either regular ass fish, or sometimes you'll get like goosed by a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I remember actually hearing some like kind of like decent things about this game. Not that it was like incredible, but that it was entertaining at least because of the idea of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is $4.99. Next up we have Family Table Tennis 3D. From Arc System Works. They've had a ton of these family things, and they all have the same family. It's expanded. Originally, it was like a nuclear family, and then like grandma came in, and like an aunt and an uncle. There's 8 people in the family now. I don't know all of their names. I've never played any of these games. I think they're generally hit or miss. Like, I think there was a soccer one that was bad, but there was like a Mario Kart clone that might have been good. I don't know.
So maybe do a little research on this one, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely already out in Japan, so you can always check that out.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Let's Ride, Best in Breed 3D, which I did review one of these horse games from this company. I don't know if they're different developers, but I know it's the same publisher.
Weren't you, like, fucking in love with, like, one of
riding
these horse games?
3D. see, the weird thing is that I'm pretty sure they've released at least 4 or 5 of these horse games over the past like 8 months, and they're all, as far as I can tell, extremely similar and probably sequels to each other, but they all have different names.
But you were really into that one.
It was a surprisingly fun game. It wasn't like it wasn't amazing, but I was expecting like barely functional dog shit, and I actually had some fun with it.
I feel like that was one of our earlier episodes of Connectivity. Like, it had to be one of the first ones, and I just remember we were going to do, like, a What We've Been Playing or something, and everyone, maybe it was around the time that...
Stables 3D.
Yeah.
I think that might have been earlier this year, actually.
Was it this year? For some reason, I feel like it was around the time, like, a big game was out. And so, like, we were all talking, that's what I'm, like, thinking, like, maybe Skyward Sword or something, and we were all talking about it. And
it was earlier this year. You might have been talking about Fire Emblem, because the reviews posted January 25th, 2013.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. Something was out.
Six. but, I mean, it's not a great game, but it was good enough that it worked.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a thing that I had fun with. I spent time with it and wasn't just struggling to get through it for the review. It was like I genuinely had fun with this game. Not a lot, but so.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. I guess if it is literally in the same line of games, maybe it won't be bad for a young kid out there.
I mean, Nintendo's website, as far as these press releases, have been pretty assy about actually putting the prices of games.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess because I'm at work when this all happens, so I don't really have the ability to do my due diligence and check the eShop. So let's ride Best in Breed 3D. Don't know how expensive it is, but I know that all of these games have been like priced like retail games, so they're like $30.
Oh shit, really?
They are not worth $30.
Oh wow, they probably
like 10 or less.
They probably
totally
chose to like leave that out of the press release. Yeah. Then, wow.
Well, I mean, there are no prices in the press release anymore, and then when you go to Nintendo's website they usually have prices, but lately they have not.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. Next up we got Mystery Murders: The Sleeping Palace. I think this is some sort of adventure game from Micro Value and Virtual Playground. There's a murder mystery, you're trying to solve this weird palace mystery. It might just be called The Sleeping Palace. Yeah,
that's
$8, by the way. And another one of those, probably like the fourth sequel of a game, but just has a differently worded name.
Yeah.
Paws and Claws Pampered Pets Resort 3D. This is another one that I'm pretty sure it's priced like a full retail release. But yeah, I mean, you play many games and you run a pet resort. Like, you know, you're running a business. There's some cool stuff to it.
You're learning some entrepreneurial skills.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one way to go. And then the big hot new Wii U release this week on Virtual Console is Donkey Kong 3.
Boop, boop.
I've never really gotten into Donkey Kong 3 before.
Me neither, actually. I was thinking about it, and I don't know how much I've really played of it.
I know I've played it, but I don't think it was for very long.
Yeah.
So I feel a little bad shitting on this game completely. But, I mean, it is something that, like, the very setup of the game is so fucking asinine.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, all right, who are you playing as? Stanley. Who's that? Oh, he's an exterminator. What does he have? Oh, he's a can of bug spray. Who's he fighting? Donkey Kong.
Yep.
He's fighting a monkey with a can of bug spray? Yeah. The monkey controls bees. What? And the monkey like sends bees and like other bugs down. And like some weird other creatures. And you spray, I guess you spray him in the eyes, maybe? And then like he crawls up into
away.
A greenhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine going to that job. Being like, all right, Stanley, we got a little infestation at the greenhouse down on Fifth and Park. Just go check it out. Open the door. There's just a giant fucking monkey.
Controlling bees.
Yeah. It sends a bee at you. You're just like, what the shit? You call up your distant cousin. Hey, Mario, Remember you having to deal with some sort of large ape?
Yeah.
And then Mario's like ready to like grab his cage and come back out there, being like, I'm going to beat that fuck.
Yeah, this is kind of
rough. That's Donkey Kong 3.
Yeah, in a nutshell, I'm pretty sure, yeah, that's, like, if you read the Wikipedia page, that's the story.
Yeah, it's another high score game, like, you know, the other ones in the series, different stages. But,
it's just kind of unfortunate. I mean, there's so much that could be brought to the Wii U Virtual Console, and like, this is it. This is
like
the
Link
one
to the
game.
Past. Just bring Link to the Past. I really want to play Link to the Past again, and I want to do it on my fucking Wii U on my gamepad. And pay $1.50 now. I'll be paying $8 for it. I never got it on Wii U.
Yeah. But still, I mean, that just, I don't know, it's just silly. And like, why more NES games? I mean, let's get to some Super Nintendo stuff. I don't know. It's just weird. I always get so excited every Thursday to see what's coming out on the virtual console, and it's 99 times out of 100 just terrible.
Yeah. Shit that I don't care about.
Yeah. Which is fine, but just release more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be for the long haul if they're doing one game at a time.
Yeah. I mean, just think that, like, in the first couple years of the Wii, I mean, granted, this is before WiiWare, but they'd be releasing, like, a minimum of 3 a week.
Oh, yeah.
And I think part of that is that a lot of the third-party licensors or licensees or license holders, I don't know what the fuck word to use, a lot of them are kind of gone. I mean, Hudson was a huge contributor to the early days of the Wii Virtual Console, and they are absorbed by Konami, and I don't think Konami has much of an interest in putting their games out on the Wii Virtual Console.
Yeah, you're probably right. There probably was a bigger push from third parties, because it did seem like a lot was coming out at once and from all over the place. It wasn't just, you know, first-party games. And then you had Sega Genesis stuff and everything, and...
Yeah, I mean, maybe there will be a time where the floodgates open a little bit and they allow Genesis games on it, because I think that Sega would release game. I mean, we saw it with Game Gear. I mean, Sega essentially released every worthwhile Game Gear game on the 3DS Virtual Console.
Yep.
Or at least that they could without, like, I mean, I have an affinity for the Ren and Stimpy Quest for the Shaven Yak game on Game Gear. That was just a game that I had that was a fun platformer, but that I don't expect that to come out on 3DS Virtual Console. I will accept that I will get that shitty Tails Metroidvania game and like a Shining Force game that I bought when it came out and haven't opened.
Yeah.
Might have turned it on once, I don't know. Should play that. Maybe that's what I'll do. I have a 3DS lull right now. But anyway, let's talk about sales.
Whoop whoop.
There's a pretty good sale on Shin Megami Tensei 4. You save $10 and it makes it the price of an actual 3DS retail game.
Honestly, though, I think for $10, I think it's worth it just to get the physical and get the nice fancy player's guide and the box and everything.
Well, those versions might not even come with it, because it was just like it was the first shipment that came
with
all
that.
That's
true. That's true. I guess, yeah, if all you're getting is the game, then obviously go digital and get it for $40. Yeah. But if it's still on the shelves with the player's guide and everything, I would go that route. It's very handy.
It is a fantastic game. For $40 or $50, I think that it is worth it. It's just, you know, $40 is still damn expensive, but...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's... I if you waited, it might go down to, like, $30. I mean, even right now, Etrian Odyssey 4 and Soul Hackers are both... I think they're permanently down to $30 on the eShop. So that's cool. And that sale is running until October 14th. We've also got a deal on Runner 2... they say it's 33% off, which I don't know how exact they get, but that should be $9.99. And that game's fantastic.
Someone gave it a 10.
I did. so if you don't have that game, you can get it from October 1st to October 7th for $10 on Wii U. And then there's even DLC where you can play as other characters.
Yeah.
Like, the dude from Psychonauts and the guy from Spelunky. Probably Meat Boy.
Yeah, I think he's in there. It's very good.
Or no, it's Dr. Fetus. You can play as Dr. Fetus.
Oh, yeah. It's very good. I would recommend it. I'd recommend it at full price. So 33% off is extra worth it.
Yeah. Next up, we have a Chasing Aurora sale. That's still ongoing. Until October 4th. You can get it for $5. And some other stuff, too. There's a DSiWare game. A shooter.
So there's that.
It's called Astro, in case you were curious.
So
I guess before we wrap this up, we're gonna talk a little bit about some recent releases that we may or may not be playing. I'm playing Scribblenauts Unmasked, which I'm about 3-4 hours into it, and right now it's a crippling disappointment. This is the equivalent of the Joker doing weird shit to my father and coming in and shooting me in the legs. And then I become the Oracle. That's maybe a little harsh, but I'm not a huge fan of this game. And before anyone thinks that I'm fucking insane, then I was referencing a comic, a very good one, Batman the Killing Joke. It pretty much took everything good about Scribblenauts Unlimited and then just like took a huge step back. Because, I mean, the main thing is that the DC stuff is neat. It's pretty cool. It's also a gigantic-ass gimmick. Every time you bring in heroes or villains, they just fight everybody. And it's fucking annoying. And like, if you like, it's like the kind of thing where it's like, if you like step in the wrong direction, they'll just start fighting you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, because you can put in whole teams, which is kind of awesome. You can just do like Green Lantern Corps and just a shit ton of Green Lanterns show up. It's awesome. Or even like specific, like, you know, like Justice League of America or like the Outsiders, Teen Titans, and like it'll just bring in all those characters. But they seem to be like kind of united together. So if you piss one off, then oh great, those 10 guys that you just brought in, they're all attacking you, and it's really hard to get all 10 guys off of the screen. And then they have these kind of like instead of having like a lot of like kind of small, well, you still have all these smaller missions, but instead of getting the star rights, which like I forget exactly how many were unlimited, but they were essentially like stars in Super Mario 64. It's like complete a mission, you get a star right. Yeah. Whereas in this game, you only get star rights for doing like the kind of like the big level defining missions. Like, I mean, you go all over the DC universe, you know, like the first one you do is with Batman. Then you go to Metropolis. Then you go to Oa and you're doing one with Green Lantern. There's another level. Like you do one with the Flash and Wonder Woman, Cyborg, all that jazz. And those are the only ways you get star rights. And those missions are usually pretty lengthy. Like, you know, there's like a couple segments to them. I ran into some really weird scripting issues with some of them. One in particular that I had to restart about two or three times was the Superman one. Because the whole conceit of the game is that there is a doppelganger of Maxwell who is helping out the villains. So he makes Lex Luthor have the same abilities as Superman. So they're like off like fighting all over the place and you're on like the top floor of the Daily Planet or something. And it's just kind of like you need to keep... the doppelganger will like create enemies and things that you need to fight, which is also boring because the combat in this game isn't that fun. What's fun about the game is solving puzzles, not oh he just spawned a vampiric lion. Now fight him. I'm like, I don't know. I'll get a bigger vampiric lion. obviously, be more creative than that. But then you have that, and then I had one instance where I just kind of had a lot of mayhem on the screen because I kept on adding stuff because I think it was like Cthulhu. And I was trying to like think of ways to like, you know, turn the Cthulhu to my side and not necessarily just do it where I create another hero and then he fights Cthulhu until he dies, which is what I should have done all along. But then like, I guess I did something where instead of actually defeating Cthulhu, he just walked off the side of the Daily Planet. And then it never triggered the next part in the mission. So I'm just sitting there, like, Cthulhu straight up fucking disappeared. And it wouldn't trigger anything else. And whenever you leave that, that you're in the top floor of the Daily Planet, whenever you leave that, the doppelganger is just like, come back here. And then you're forced back into the room. So I had to restart the mission. And then that happened again, except for that I didn't have a Cthulhu to blame on. It just straight up, like, I could see Superman and Lex Luthor fighting off in the distance, but they would never come back. And I couldn't do anything, so I had to restart that mission twice.
And then it worked.
Yeah, and then finally I went through, and it was just like, it worked fine. But there's just like a lot of kind of weird scripting issues with it.
It seems
like a game that might have been rushed. Makes sense, considering it's coming out less than a year than Scribblenauts Unlimited.
Right.
And then kind of taking the place of like the, you know, how you have so many star rights, you now have these randomly generated like hero challenges or something that they're called that give you reputation. And reputation is split up into three categories. There's like a Gotham reputation, Metropolis reputation, and then everybody else reputation. Basically, it's like, I mean, like the areas that you go through are split up into, you know, three columns. And then you collect that reputation, you can like unlock stuff. But the problem with some of these randomly generated missions is that some of them don't really make any sense. And it's also the kind of stuff where it's like you are walking through the level and going to see what this mission is. And then like it's a villain and he's strapped to a bomb and then he blows up and then like you fail the mission before you even know what it is. And I've just had like there's too many moments like that. And I mean, it's cool that every time you restart the level, then there's like, you know, new missions that you can go through. But I just kind of wish they, you know, didn't go so hard in this randomly generated direction and actually kind of crafted what was where. Because that was some of the cool stuff about Scribblenauts Unlimited is that kind of what you would do would kind of build off each other. And, like, you know, you'd be able to almost, like, use things that you use to solve a past event and it would kind of flow together because they were all deliberate and planned out, whereas these are just randomly strung together. But yeah, I'm not having as much fun with this game as I hoped I would.
Yeah.
I really loved Scribblenauts Unlimited. I still think it's great. I think instead of getting this, even if you're a huge DC fan, just go back and play Unlimited.
Yeah, I enjoyed Unlimited, but I kind of felt like after Unlimited, I didn't really need any more Scribblenauts in my life, at least not for a while. Especially since I'm not really a big comic guy, so the DC thing didn't appeal to me, so.
Yeah, and I mean, like, how all the characters and items and everything, like, it is really cool, they do have the back computer where you can just browse through everything. So even if you're not that familiar to, like, you know, call up an obscure character, you can browse through and be like, oh, that's a... You know, that's just a planet. Apparently he's an enemy. Okay. And they have, like, bios on everything. And, like, you get, like, different costumes for Maxwell that then, like, augment his abilities. You know, like a Batman one, like, you'll be able to throw a batarang at all times. Some of the other ones will give you permanent flight. Like, and it's kind of cool, but, I mean, it really is just a gimmick. And the randomly generated stuff I don't think really works. And I've run into way more issues. Like, I definitely remember with Unlimited, I think there were one or two puzzles that we would have to, like, restart the level to make it actually work. And you did run into that issue from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But that one, like, because none of the missions were super, super long, like, you didn't run into those kind of scripting errors where, like, I mean, I was on, like, stage 2 or 3 of that mission when I had to restart it.
Oh, God.
So I had to do the same thing, and... I mean, I got to the point where I'm just doing exactly what I did before and going through it.
Yeah.
If you're interested in playing Scribblenauts, play Unlimited. If you already play Unlimited, then play Wind Waker, I guess.
Then just stop.
So, Scott, are you playing anything other than the Wind Waker right now?
No, that's pretty much it. Some stuff on my Vita, but that's neither here nor there.
Are you actually playing Persona 4?
I'm like very slowly beginning it because I've played Persona before.
I've not played Persona 4.
I never beat it, but I literally put in like 85 hours. I mean, I've seen most of the game, and I just never finished it, but I'm excited to go back through it. I know they've improved a lot of stuff for Golden. So I'm like just kind of getting past the beginning stuff. Cause I know I feel like I remember it starting off a little slow. Like you do a lot of the sort of like real life stuff. Before you go into the, you know, into like the alternate, you know, world or whatever with all the personas. So I'm enjoying that. And then I'm finally getting through the Walking Dead game. So
yeah, I have both of those games on my Vita, but I've not really touched them that much.
Yeah. Going out of town next week, so I'll have my Vita with me. So I'm planning to get a lot of gaming done then on the airplane and stuff like that. So
I did finish Oracle of Seasons, so that was cool. That's a really good game. I don't think I'm going to play Ages for a very long time. Could be ages before I play Oracle of Ages. It's not that I didn't enjoy Seasons, but it's like, I mean, especially with like Link Between Worlds coming up and how I kind of want to replay Link to the Past before that, then it's like I'm verging on Zelda Overload.
Right, and Wind Waker you just reviewed. Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot of Zelda at once.
And then Wario Land 3 is a fantastic game that I also slowly worked my way through. That's I think, like, I get it now. I get why people love that game and have such an affinity for the Wario Land series. I think Wario Land 3 is by far the best of the Wario Land games. And I just love the layout of how it, like, you know, basically, for those who aren't familiar with it, is it's, you know, you have a map and different levels. But what happens is, there's like 4 different treasures in each level, and usually you can only get one when you first go through a level. But then you get an item that will open up another level, or maybe open up a different way to access an earlier level. And so it just kind of like unfolds, and like you're going, it just, like all the levels like change and transform, and it's like, you know, how one thing might have been a straight left or right, then you do something where like, oh no, now you can, you know, go up this vine, and then you're in someplace completely different. It's really cool. That's about it.
Yeah, I need to play that. I've never really earnestly played any of the Wario Land games, so it sounds like 3 is the one to go with.
I mean, I think that the first one is, like, stupidly slow. The second one's a lot of fun. The second one has a really neat trick in it, in that you play through it and beat the end boss, and then it's like, okay, here's where all the treasures are, and you basically find out that you have played half the game. and then, like, you can, you know, stage select and go around and find the different paths and everything. But both 2 and 3 are fantastic. And before we go, I figure I'll tease some stuff that's going to be happening next week. So by the time you hear this, you know, get ready for next episode, because we're going to have some cool shit. October 1st, we have an embargo about an upcoming Nintendo game, which we've got some kick-ass information. We're not going to be the only people that have it, because, you know, an embargo from multiple sides, so. But we will have a lot of information about an upcoming Nintendo game that you're probably interested to see what there is to that game. And other than that, next Friday, I think that's next Friday, October 4th, Pokemon X and Y reviews. That's when our embargo was up. Alex Kolafi will be providing a review on that day. Because James Dawson will be getting his copy slightly later, James Dawson will be chiming in as well. And you will probably be, if all goes well, you'll be hearing James and Alex talk about Pokemon next week. So cool. I hope you enjoyed this week in Nintendo and, you know, ranting about Scribblenauts Unmasked. And talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
And welcome to a segment on what is, in my opinion, the best game on Wii U right now, The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker HD. I'm Neil Ronahan, and with me to talk about what I consider to be probably my favorite game of all time is Mike Sklenz.
Oh!
Scott Thompson.
Neil, tell us how you really feel.
And Zach Miller.
Schmeh!
I think Zach answered your question.
I think Zach and I were trying to go for, like, the kind of weird noises that Wind Waker characters make when you talk to them. Yeah. Way to pick up on that one, Scott.
They don't have any speed.
My incredibly subtle reference.
I think that, like, some of the characters will have that kind of, like, blah, 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 blah. I think, like, King of Red Lions. Some spoiler characters as well. You know what? So do we care about spoilers in this?
Nope.
No, this game is 10 years
old. 12 years old.
Okay. All right, yeah, we're going to spoil the shit out of this. You know what I forgot was how fucking creepy Ganondorf's laugh at the end is.
Yeah, it is.
Totally forgot about that.
At the end of the game?
It's near the end.
I haven't beaten it yet.
Oh, shit.
I mean, but it's the same from the GameCube version. I forget exactly when it is. It's either, like, right before you fight him. Or right before you fight him at the end. But he just has this laugh that goes on, like, 10 seconds too long. And it's just, like, at first you're like, all right, he's laughing. He's like, he's still going. Shit. He's really crazy. But yeah, I mean, I reviewed this game for the website and gave it a 10 out of 10 because I fucking love this game. And I didn't realize how much I did until I replayed it. And everything was familiar, but everything was still so much fun. And all the changes that they made to Wind Waker HD basically just make the game fucking amazing and incredible. It's almost like they were like, hey, Neil, what bothered you about Wind Waker? A game that you liked a whole lot. But, you know, there were some things that bugged you. We're just going to fix them all, and it's going to be awesome.
Smooth all those rough edges out.
Yeah.
I was very happy when just a little thing, like you don't have to go all the way to the forest island to get the fairy as part of the color Pictobox quest.
You don't have to do that anymore. I did that, and then I went back to the photographer, and he's like, oh, well, we don't need that anymore. I was like, screw you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that sometimes, you know, that sense memory of what to do in the game kind of bites you in the ass because they simplified some things.
Yeah.
I doubt you guys are that far into the game, but even with the Triforce quest, how you just, it's the same experience as far as I'm concerned. It's just that you only need to find 3 maps and translate them as opposed to 8.
Nice.
So it's less of a grind because, I mean, still when you find those shards, it's basically like finding the maps.
But you know what? You can't find anymore because there's no Tingle Tuner. You can't find those Tingle statues.
They're still there. Oh, okay. It's just that you access them in a slightly different manner. I didn't find a lot of them, but I made sure that I was like, I wonder, like, where this is, and it's just like I had to bomb something, and then I got one.
Oh, okay.
I'd completely forgotten about, like, the merchants with the flowers and the trading of the flowers thing. Like,
yeah.
Forgotten about that entire
thing. I didn't finish that side quest when I was reviewing it, but I have the urge to go back.
I've forgotten most of this game. It's like my favorite Zelda game, but it feels completely new because I played it like literally a decade ago. And don't remember any. I mean, I remember the rough sketch of like what it's like to play it, but I don't remember like how to play it. When I come across puzzles, the memories pull the solutions up, but I don't know ahead of time like what I'm really doing next anymore.
Yeah. That's why, like, for me playing through it again, because I played it, you know, around when it first came out, and then I think I started a new file probably like 04, 05. And got to, I think, right when you get, or I think Tower of the Gods is where I was at. And I stopped playing it and then found that save file in like 2008 and then finished it.
Nice.
So the second half of the game is way more familiar to me than the first half. So the first half, it was really nice because it is like this warm, fuzzy memory that they made way sharper and shinier.
Well, should we each say how far in we are?
Sure.
All right, Mike, how far are you?
I just went back to the Forbidden Fortress and beat Helmrock. Okay. And then I post that I've like sailed around to like a couple different islands and like boosted my arrows and my bombs. Like I'm just kind of like messing around right now, not really doing anything, exactly stalling until I have to go to the next temple.
I'm completing all the Windfall Island subquests and they all suck.
Why are you doing that to yourself, Zach?
Because I want heart pieces.
Yeah.
But every one of them takes forever.
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, I like a lot of the side quests in this game, but some of the Windfall Island stuff, especially when you kind of stack it all together, it just like kind of drags.
All the photography missions, they all blow.
I've never gotten that into the Pictobox. I don't feel like the game, I mean, I know some people really get into getting on the figurines, and I feel like that's a cool optional challenge.
Happen. Well, you can take 12 photos now, which is nice. Yeah. In the old one, you can only take like selfies. 3 or 4.
That's what I wasted on.
I mean, yeah, most of my shots are selfies, let's be honest.
Yep.
Scott, how far in are you?
I'm only at the Dragon Roost Isle, so I'm not very...
So you turned the game on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played like an hour, maybe an hour and a half?
Yeah, I think I actually clocked it, because when I got the review copy, I basically got to the end of Dragon Roost and then saved and quit, and I think like beating the dungeon and everything took me like 2 hours, I think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was still, I mean, it's like what Mike said, how I didn't remember a lot of the specifics, but it all like kind of came back to me. There were a few things that I was like stuck on because I tried to overthink it, and it was just like, oh, yeah, I just blow up this rock here, and then the water fills in.
Yeah, overthinking it always kills me in these games.
Because I was like, I think there's something where I need to like fly off a ledge, and I'm like, no, that's later.
It's way simpler. Just do that one thing.
That's what I like about this game's dungeons. They're like just right for me. I'm not banging my head over a wall like in some Twilight Princess dungeons. It's just the hardest puzzle is forming that Triforce in Hyrule Castle.
I forgot. That was another one I forgot about, but then it kind of came back to me.
Yeah.
I just really like the way the game looks in HD, too.
Oh, man.
I don't think it's, like, leagues better than the GameCube version, because I think that still holds up well, but it just, I mean, outside of some weird bloom lighting instances, like, it just all looks, you know, just a little bit better.
Yeah, it's really just smooth and polished, and then, plus, you know, getting to play it in widescreen, it's really nice on a big-ass TV. Lighting.
Yeah, like I genuinely enjoy, like, boating from island to island, like, sailing. Like, it's actually relaxing to me in a weird way, and I love the way it looks. It looks so sharp and clean that I'm actually just enjoying, you know, even the simple task of just sailing around.
Oh, yeah. I wish you could take the HUD off the screen when you're sailing.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping they would do with using the gamepad.
Or at least let it fade away like it does in Skyward Sword.
Yeah. Or have, like, the setting with that, because I know in Skyward Sword you could have, like, intrusive setting, and then the one where it was basically nothing. But I do love the gamepad integration. I love being able to sail and just, like, be like, all right, what island do I need to go to?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Change some items around, you know. It's all really smooth and works really well.
Although I'm still instinctively pausing to swap items around, even though I can do it in real time.
That happened to me a few times.
Depending on the situation I'm in, I will pause it. Like, if I'm in a battle, I'm going to pause it. But if I'm just sailing, I can just kind of mess around.
Yeah. Did you guys all get the Swift Sail? Or do you even
know? I got that.
Yep.
Thanks to you.
I haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I think it's after, the first time you can get it is after Dragon Roost.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get the proper thing in the auction house and be able to win the bet?
Quite a few tries.
It was the first thing that showed up.
It was the first thing that showed up.
It was the first thing that showed up for me.
Oh, fuck you.
And I got it on the first try.
First one for me was a piece of heart, and then it was a treasure map, and then it was another treasure map.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know there were other things to get in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to
have to go back. I'd forgotten.
Yeah,
it was the first thing that showed up, so I just assumed, like, oh, it's probably the first thing that shows up for everyone, so you can get it, like, as soon as you want it.
Wouldn't that be nice, yeah.
Yeah, because my tale of woe with that is that I think it like took me 4 or 5 times to get it up there, and then some asshole outbid me right at the end.
Oh, that happened to me a few times with a piece of heart.
And then it took me another 10 times going in and out before it came back.
Oh, always bid at 10%. Always bid at 10%. Just whatever the bid is, when you bid 10% more.
Yeah, because then you get them done. Basically, I just like killed them all.
Yeah,
outbidding them a lot. So, anything else about Wind Waker that's kind of popping out at you on this replay, or is it not living up to your expectations in any way?
It's exceeded all of mine. It's just like a beautiful trip down memory lane. I get to replay all this stuff. I just love the sailing, and I know this whole point of the Swift Sail is to, like, you know, make it easier. I don't really care that it speeds the boat up. I like that it auto shifts the wind for you. That's the most useful part of it. But I honestly like sailing, and a lot of people always complain about, like, oh, there's too much sailing, and I don't know, if you're tired of sailing, just use the Ballad of Gales.
Yeah.
It's right there. I think most of the people who complained about sailing probably never got the Ballad of Gales. Because you have to hunt
so
that guy down.
Do while you're sailing, there's the barrels with rupees and the and things to find, salvage, and then there's the pirate towers and the submarines, and there's always something.
I just love exploring in that world.
Yeah, there's something in every single square, pretty much. Yeah.
As similar as it is to flying in Skyward Sword, it's a lot better. Because
it's much better.
Skyward Sword just had dick to do.
And like, it's so seamless to just like hop off the boat, do some things, and then jump back in and keep going. Whereas Skyward Sword, the smaller like floating islands wouldn't require any loading. But any of the bigger ones, like, you know, you had to load. And it really slowed down the process each time you were jumping from, you know, from island to island. But this feels a lot smoother.
And, you know, this, when you're flying in Skyward Sword, like, you have to manage flying.
Yep.
You have to, you have to make sure you're maintaining velocity and speed and altitude and all this other shit. And when Wind Waker and sailing, I can just point the boat and hit go.
Yeah.
And just go. I mean, every now and then I have to fight a giant squid or something, but like, you can't accidentally, like, bypass an island like you can in Skyward Sword.
I did, like, you know, at times in the game, I'd be, like, looking at the map and just seeing, like, all right, maybe I'll go after this treasure map or something. And then I just hear the music of an enemy showing up. I'd be like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
But, like Mike, I mean, I haven't played this since it came out. So I was in high school. So it's been really fun to get a chance to kind of go back and re-experience it. And I really don't remember much of it at all, save for, like, the very beginning with kind of the stealth sections, and then, you know, like, the Hyrule scene is pretty much forever kind of burned into my memory. But
that Hyrule scene, I have a save. I whenever I play Wind Waker, I have a save file
just with that
right before the Hyrule thing, so yeah. I can go and play it. Like right now, that's what I have. I have so all three save files. I have my New Game Plus, my regular one, and then my right before Hyrule.
Yeah.
So you started the whole quest just to get up to that point and save it?
Well, then I just have another save. Like, oh. I copy that save.
Oh, okay.
Hyrule. It's not like I just get to that point and stop. And
stop. Then but, yeah, so I'm really enjoying that. And it feels to me like almost a whole new Zelda game just because I don't remember so much of it.
Yeah, same here.
And I really do just enjoy the look of it. Like, it's fun to just sit back and see how great it looks and just kind of play it like it's the first time.
It's so consistent. I mean, the art direction is so consistent and...
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what I like about it.
It just emotes so well, too. I mean, I love, as silly as they are, I love the faces and everything. And it's so simple, but it works so, so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love when Link is, like, sidling across a ledge to, like, narrow his eyes and point them in the direction that he's moving.
He gets so serious.
Yeah, the way he
kind of concentrating.
He shows his teeth, like, he's kind of, like, biting his lips or something. I mean, yeah. It's really funny. I mean, it's so simple, but it's so
great.
And
his default expression is kind of like, almost like a little bit of a herp derp kind of face, where it's like, his mouth is a little wiggled, like, ugh, like he's seasick or something all the time. Every time I catch that face, I fucking laugh at it.
Yeah. This game made me realize that Link has never had parents.
Yeah.
He's got a grandma.
He had an uncle in Link to the Past, and he has a grandma in Wind Waker.
Immaculate.
And a sister.
That's what he is.
And a sister, too. Yeah.
Sister, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
You get a lot of Link family in Wind Waker.
Well, didn't they have, in Ocarina of Time, he had a mom, but she died.
Oh, really? I don't remember that at all.
Right? Because wasn't there the whole thing where, like, how he wound up in Kokiri Forest, was that, like, his mom was being chased? And then, like, she died.
Are you thinking of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, maybe?
No. No, Link's just a child of the Kokori, and their ancestry is not revealed.
But he's not. He's a Hegelian.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Because he looks different from them. Yeah, so I think Neil's right.
He's an orphan in that game.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, his mom's dead, but he does have a parent.
All right.
But you never see her, she's just mentioned.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a cutscene where it's, like, there's, like, fire and, like, a horse riding. And it's just like, and then he died. And then she died.
You can read some fanfic. I
have to replay that game now.
Play it on 3DS. It's pretty good.
It is.
Yeah, the 3DS version isn't bad.
Yeah.
It's the second best Zelda game, from what I hear.
Wind Waker is the best Zelda game.
By the time this is done, we will know that. Yeah, Wind Waker was the top of our top 10 list.
I agree,
because legitimately after replaying this game, like, it's not just, I think, my favorite Zelda game, it's one of my favorite games of all time.
Oh, me too.
It's damn near perfect, and especially this version of it is really, like, really almost as perfect as a video game can get.
You guys have narrations? Do you guys narrate the voices in your head, like, with specific voices? Or the text?
I think I just read it.
Depending. Like, sometimes I do for, like, certain characters that I
Sean
enjoy.
Sean Connery is the boat.
Of course. Of course Sean Connery's the boat. Looks like him. I have a voice in my head for Tingle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's kind of pleasant.
I wonder if it's always like, I guess all the voices in my head kind of key in on the noises they make.
Yeah.
So I imagine that
of all those noises.
I take that noise and I apply it to all the words that the character says in my head. Yeah.
Have you guys been doing I guess I should say, what did you change the settings to for the bottles to show up in your game? Did you leave it to everyone or just your friends?
I have everyone.
I have everyone. Yeah.
I have enough friends that I changed it to friends only, and I still get a crap load of bottles.
I left it everyone, but yeah, I mean, my friends list is maxed out, so I thought, like, I should just change it to friends only.
I think if you have it set to everyone, I think it still gives preference to friends.
Does it?
That would be cool.
I'm thinking maybe it just, if you only have four friends, you can set it to everyone, and it'll focus on your four friends, but it'll get you more from the outside world if there's not enough.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
That makes sense. I want to change it to friends, though, friends. But
from ZeldaWiki.org, the Link character page.
Oh,
jeez. I heard someone typing. God damn it.
At an early age. The only game that mentions Link's mother is Ocarina of Time, and she died after she escaped the Kokiri Forest with Link as a baby from a fierce war in Hyrule. leaving him in the care of the Great Deku Tree.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, bam. You win third battle, Neil.
Nailed it.
Maybe Vin Diesel is Ganondorf?
Someone's been reading their Hyrule Historia.
Nicolas Cage.
Yes, Nicolas Cage.
Is Ganondorf.
Yeah, but like Nick Cage, like, oh, I guess
like
for
Bad
this
Lieutenant
Ganondorf.
Raising Cage. Arizona Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. That would be like the Ganondorf in Ocarina.
That needs to happen. A movie needs to be made.
No, it doesn't.
No.
That movie would suck. Let's get real.
I will say that playing this gets me really excited, and I know they won't do it because it's too recent, but I would love an HD remake of Skyward Sword at this point. I really would, because I really enjoy Skyward Sword. It's probably my second favorite Zelda game.
After what they did to Wind Waker HD, I just want them to do HD remakes to this scale for every fucking Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, although, yeah. I think Anuma's made comments about how, like, if they do another remake, then someone else is doing it. They're not handling it directly. And yeah. I feel like if you do that, then you're not going to get the refinements that you got in Wind Waker HD. Because even with Ocarina, which Ocarina 3D is great and everything, but I don't think that... I think Grezzo probably treated it with kid gloves a little bit. Because, no. I mean, it's fucking Ocarina of Time. What are you going to do? Go in there and fuck it up?
Well, sure, right?
Whereas I think because Anuma was involved and he directed Wind Waker, they took a few more liberties with it. Yeah.
It's his,
and he
it's
didn't
his
he
game.
Didn't direct it, but he still, you know, he was the producer on it.
It's essentially like version 2.0.
Yep.
Like, it's just, they took everything, squashed all the bugs, you know, they ironed some things out, and they up-resed it, and 2.0, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, so any parting thoughts about Wind Waker HD?
I did want to talk about
the secret best character in that game.
Pretty much all the characters in this game are the best characters. No, Fishman. Fishman is the best.
Fishman is great.
I wanted to talk about combat. Because I seem to remember it being harder
best
than it
in
is
in the series.
I seem to remember it being harder. I feel like I can spam the sword a lot more than I did on the GameCube version.
Oh.
I feel like the guards, like the guys, always had their guard up in the GameCube version. The only way you could ever hit them was with counterattacks.
I think you're earlier in the game.
Yeah, maybe it does get
because
harder
as you
the
get
end.
Later in the game, you do need to kind of like sit there a little bit and, you know, wait for the parry and everything. Because
even the what are the big pig dudes? What are those moblins?
Yeah,
even those dudes, like, you can just spam the sword, especially once you get the master sword. You can just spam the sword at them and, like, you stand a good chance of hitting them.
Yeah.
Unless they're like in that, it just happen to be in the guard mode. And if they do, you just wait like 3 seconds and then you can spam the sword again.
Yep.
But yeah, I remember the end game, especially when you fight like the big knight dudes, like, you pretty much have to counterattack to get their armor off.
Although when you get the light hour, then it's awesome, because you just shoot them and then they fucking evaporate the light. It's great.
Yeah, light hour is awesome.
I can't wait to do that that gauntlet on Outset.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the combat in this game is it's not really that deep, but it's just so fulfilling because they really nail that kind of like the dun dun dun.
Yeah, the musical cues are awesome.
Yeah. And like I still love Skyward Sword's combat. I feel like there's a lot more depth than that, but Wind Waker is good in its simplicity.
I hope the next Zelda game we get goes with the Skyward Sword artwork. I feel like it's a good meeting point between Ocarina and Wind Waker, especially, I mean, it was almost kind of a trick they did on the Wii to, like, make up for its shortcomings, but as you zoomed out in Skyward Sword, like, things would take on this, like, impressionist look to them.
Yeah.
To make, like, so it simplifies the geometry and it makes it easier for the system to draw it. But imagine if they took that same art style and applied it, you know, with the Wii U and they've got all this extra power, it would just look, I think it would look stunning all of the time.
That's true.
Just like this game does.
Yep.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why, like, I would almost kill for a Skyward Sword HD remake, because I really love it, and I think it would look fantastic. And really, when I think about that game, my only qualms are sort of the technical limitations, you know, the constant loading, and the fact that there's really only three areas you explore, you know, and stuff like that. But it would just look so good.
I hope they always stick with stylized Zelda. Like, I don't want them to go back to Twilight Princess Ocarina of Time, like, kind of, not really grimdark, but as grimdark as Zelda gets. Yeah, I'm done with it. We have all this beautiful hardware. Why are we using it to try and emulate something that looks real when we could use it all to do something incredibly artistic instead?
Yeah. Right. I mean, even not that I want to go too far down this pipeline, but, you know, playing Wind Waker HD and looking at commercials for, like, GTA 5 and stuff like that, like, I'd much rather have games that look like Wind Waker than GTA 5. Like, I find, especially as we get to that weird uncanny valley, like, games that try to be realistic just don't look that good to me.
They start looking too plastic.
Yeah.
Well, GTA 5's not even as egregious. Like, I'm thinking, when Mike says this, I'm thinking of something like, oh god, like Gears of War, like dark, muddy, you know, just like grimy and just bland. I mean, at least GTA 5 has good use of color.
Wind Waker, though, oof, color in Wind Waker is great. I almost kind of want to go down Neil's path a little bit of, I feel like I'm the only person in my group that's not playing Grand Theft Auto 5 and I'm playing this instead.
Yeah, well, I'm right there. I mean, I don't have a PS3 that's working, so I'm no access to GTA 5. So
I just don't have any. Right, I don't know. I have a PlayStation 3. I just have no interest in playing Grand Theft Auto 5.
Me neither.
I burn out on those games like 6 hours in, like every time.
Yeah.
Like, I get to the. If I'm lucky, I can make it to the third area. If I'm really lucky, I'll make it, and then I'll probably quit like 2 hours into that third area.
Yeah. Just real quick, as maybe like a side. What do you guys want to see that they kind of added to this Wii U version of Wind Waker? What would you like to see kind of pulled from this and applied to the next Zelda game? I mean, what about like motion plus controls? I mean, do you guys want to go back to Skyward Sword? Are you comfortable with just the
Zach, you never even went to Skyward Sword. So how could you play
Skyward Sword's beautiful.
I got through the first dungeon. And I
the overworld is a chore, but it's fantastic.
And some chick was like, "I lost my kid," and I'm like, "Fuck you! Like, I'm turning this off."
Basically, Zach, like you just licked the tip and then stopped.
Yeah. It's like you play. It's like you beat
just
Dragon
like
Island.
In real life, Neil.
Now you gotta
go find out at PAX East.
Skyward Sword's, I think, my second favorite Zelda game after Wind Waker.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Yeah,
I don't know. Ocarina
is hard to
knock
down because Ocarina, so much, you know, warm, fuzzy nostalgia, but especially after replaying that on 3DS,
the next two, though, are Wind Waker and Skyward Sword are just so much more refined.
Yeah.
In terms of gameplay, the best thing they did to Ocarina in the remake was kind of like decomplexify the water temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helped so much, and it's
the
kind of thing.
The touchscreen items.
It's the kind of stuff that like shows up in almost every dungeon in Wind Waker and Skyward Sword. Is like these hints are all like kind of written into the background of the dungeon, and that's something I'd like to see going forward. But if we had to take one thing from Wind Waker, I want to keep gyro aiming.
Well, they had that in Ocarina.
That was in Ocarina too, and I loved it in that game, and I love it even more. It makes like the boomerang boss battle was like a huge pain in the ass on the GameCube version, because you had to, like, if you overshot with the stick, you would miss it, and then tentacles would come get you, but with the gamepad, I can just be like, alright, click, 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 and grab, like, it's very precise, so you can just grab all the things you need to hit the button, and all of a sudden, Boomerang is, like, knocked out all the tentacles.
I mean, I think that I want to see sailing come back, but, you know, be free like this, not like it was in Phantom Hourglass, and, you know,
I want to see the storyline actually continue. Whereas in Phantom Hourglass, it did not.
Yeah.
It's not like I want to see like Wind Waker 2. I mean, I just like sailing.
I would
do something
Wind
like
Waker
that, 2. But like, don't fuck it up like you've done every time you've tried to do something like that afterwards.
Well they've done land and sky and sea now, so I don't that kind of trilogy space is complete. Space. I don't know what else they could. Yeah, space
submarine.
Legend
When's
of Zelda Galaxy.
Going next? He's going to the moon.
Zelda 7 Ganon in space.
Somewhere, Johnny just had an orgasm, and he doesn't know why.
And with Jeff Hart.
Yeah. I don't know. See, I would love to see, like, kind of a combination of all the different, like, exploration.
I would like to see them just go really, really, really insane with it and just give us an overworld that's, like, three times the size of any of the ones we've seen.
Exactly, yeah.
And like, give it, like, a big ocean so I can sail and almost make it, like, Oblivion.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like Skyrim. Yeah, that's where I was going. Yeah, where it's like, it just sort of exponentially gets bigger and bigger. So it's like at first, you know, you've got your kind of, dungeon that's very close to your starting area. Then you get your horse and then you go further. And then eventually you're sailing and then flying. And just this progression where you realize like the scope of the world, I think would be great.
Yeah.
Beyond Good and Evil did that.
What's that?
Beyond Good and Evil did that really well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And I'll say one thing before we got to wrap it up. I know we got to wrap it up, but I want posters of all those stained glass windows.
You can get those.
What?
Blick, The wall decal company Blick sells them. Their website is whatisblick.com, and they have a whole host of Wind Waker ones.
Yeah, I think they did. They just add them.
Or? I think they might be new. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Amanda sent me a link to them like 3 days ago, and I was like, "Yeah, because I want to buy one of these. I really want one.
I kind of want.
Yeah. So forget a poster, Zach. This thing is like large enough to look like an actual window on your wall.
Nice.
All right. Well, that just about does it for our talk on the Wind Waker HD. Write in with your thoughts on how you're digging the remake or why you're not getting it for some crazy reason. You can write us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And, enjoy playing Wind Waker, because you should be playing it, even if there are the Wonderful 101 and all those other new games out, because Wind Waker is better.
Yeah, it is.
Just saying.
Killer app!
All right, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Later.
Sultan of sultry voices, with the melodic voice of an angel. That's right, it's Josh Max. And I'm just hanging out here in this empty game show room. There are these podiums around here, there are buzzers. It's a little dark, but I think I might call this place home. You know, I think this might be a fun place to have a little fun. You know what I'm saying? Boy, who's that? Who's that over there?
Who?
Kim!
Hey.
Kim, what are you doing here?
I live under the podium.
No way.
Yes way. Are you moving in?
Is postgraduate life that hard?
Oh god, you have no idea the things
No,
I've
actually,
seen.
I think I do.
Things I've seen, Josh.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun times here. Wait, who's that? Do you know who that is over on the other side of the stage?
Hey.
Becky, what are you doing here?
I'm the janitor.
Oh, sorry. Hey, at least one of us has a job. Hey, well, Becky.
Yeah, it's not that
great.
You know,
I just found this place. Kim's been living here. You guys want to have a game show?
Well, I mean, we got these buzzers and things, so I guess that would make sense.
All right, so hold on. Let me just, Becky, you stand over there by Kim, by the podium. I'm going to, hold on, let me just
Buzz.
Plug this in and... Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Josh, and I'll be your host today on this brand new game show called Name That Pokemon. Now, we have our two contestants over here. First up is Kim. She's from Arkansas. She studied, geographic inconsistencies at her state college. And anything you want to tell the viewers, Kim?
Everything you said is a lie.
Of course it is. Now, on to Miss Becky. Miss Becky over here is a janitor by day, school teacher by night. She went to jail for 2 years, but got acquitted. So, Becky, anything you want to tell the viewers out there?
It's all a lie. It's all a lie. I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
Well, obviously, these girls are in the right place to play Name That Pokemon. all right. So, guys, this is how it works. We're going to start off. I'm going to flip a coin. One of you is going to call it in the air. They go first. Then we're going to go back and forth. Trying to guess Pokemon. One of you can't answer the question, then we'll go to the next person. And how you're going to guess, of course, is I should probably explain that. I'm going to read off one of the Pokedex entries from the Pokemon. They start with Red and Blue. They go through Black and White, too. So I could be reading from any generation. We'll see what happens. They'll get harder as we get further into the game. Any questions? Any questions, guys?
Kim's eating what? My food. Can we do something about that?
No. No.
No.
What but is speaking the definition of what?
Speaking of that question, let me answer that question with another answer. Yes, my favorite food is spaghetti, and also, you guys get power-ups. Halfway through the game, after I've asked about 7 or 10 questions, I'll dole out the power-ups. The power-ups work like this. Once during the game, after I've given them to you guys can ask what type of Pokemon the Pokemon is, and I'll tell you straight up. If there's dual types, I'll tell you both of them. All right, so guys, we ready to play?
Yeah!
Alrighty. So, Kim, I'm going to flip a coin. You call it in the air. Go.
Tails.
It is tails. Yes. Team Kim is going first. All right. Kim. Yes. Your first Pokemon.
Yes.
Is this.
Uh-huh.
This Pokemon has very fine fur. Take care not to make it angry. It may inflate steadily and hit you with a body slam.
Wait, are we doing original 151 or all?
This is all of them are the original 151 this time.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, fine hair, and then it can inflate and hit you with body slam.
Yeah.
I
know what you're thinking, and no, it's not Agumon.
I think we're in the wrong franchise there.
Oh, okay. Oh, my bad.
How long has you been a host?
I'm just going to sit over here and eat my devil fruit.
Okay, so you said it can inflate. Ah, Jigglypuff.
No, it is not Jigglypuff. Going over to Becky, its body is soft and rubbery. When angered, it will suck in air and inflate itself to an enormous size.
Oh, well, Jigglypuff was kind of my first guess, but I'm thinking Wigglytuff, because I don't think Jigglypuff gets body slam.
No, that's my your final guess. Answer.
Final answer.
It is Wigglytuff. Yeah. Becky walks away with the point. All right, Becky.
Yes.
Your Pokemon.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Many odd things of this Pokemon is close by. For example, it makes clocks run backwards.
Oh gosh, I know this one. I totally know this one.
This one is a little harder, I will admit. We start off a little harder, but I think you guys are ready for it.
Mm. Makes things do odd things.
Mm-hmm. Think about it. What Pokemon makes you do odd things?
I'm probably totally going to get this wrong.
You probably totally will, but that's how we play the game.
Build my own confidence. Is it Mr. Mime?
It is not Mr. Mime. Kim.
Oh.
If one is nearby, an eerie shadow appears on TV screens. Seeing the shadow is said to bring bad luck.
What the hell? Okay.
Oh, that's creepy.
I know.
I'm just picturing that in a horror movie. Just all of a sudden, this Pokemon shadow appears on your screen. Oh, you're going to die in 7 days.
That's exactly what's going on here.
Well, I think it has to be a psychic Pokemon, Josh. Let's see.
Are you sure that's
psychic?
I
guess a psychic Pokemon.
Lost. Well, I'm deciding between three. I got I think it's either Abracadabra or Alakazam. So I gotta pick one. Let's go for the middle one. Abracadabra.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, it is.
It is Kadabra.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Congratulations. Good guess.
Now, here's the thing. It's a little bonus thing. Bonus trivia. Almost half of its entries are about alpha waves emitting from its body. So, you
if
know.
If you get this question in the thing. Future, alpha
clearly
waves.
Clearly, that would have given it away. Alpha waves.
All right.
Literally, Kadabra.
So, Kim, it's back to you.
Okay. Let's do this.
All right, so this Pokemon often hides in water to stalk unwary prey. For swimming fast, it moves its ears to maintain balance.
Its ears.
Its ears.
I feel like that's the thing I gotta focus on.
Well, or you could focus on the fact that it needs to maintain its balance.
So I guess it could tip over. So I'm going to go with War Turtle.
It is War Turtle.
Yeah, logic.
Oh, look at that.
All right, Becky, back to you. This Pokemon is skilled at slashing enemies with its claws. If broken, they start to grow back in a day.
Ooh. Sandslash?
It is Sandslash. Oh. All right, guys, 2-2. Let's kick it up.
It's on.
One notch, all right?
One notch, just one.
All right. Kim, you ready?
I'm so ready.
If you need a second, we can, like, talk about something else.
Okay, let's take one sec. And...
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Okay.
It raises its big ears to check its surroundings. If it senses anything, it attacks immediately.
Hmm. Big ol' ears.
Big ears.
I think an aggressive big-eared Pokemon would be like... gosh, am I gonna... Nidoran?
You know Nidoran? Is that your final answer?
Yes.
It's not Nidoran.
Oh.
Becky for the steal. This aggressive Pokemon is quick to attack. The horn on its head secretes a powerful venom. And yes, I did forget what the word secrete said.
Is it Nidorino?
It is Nidorino. Becky for the steal.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, it's got long ears. It's like a bunny. A really All angry right. bunny.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's Becky's turn.
Damn. Oh, it is. Woohoo! Yeah.
A rowdy Pokemon with lots of stamina. Once running, this Pokemon will not stop until it hits something.
Huh. A Pokemon
Think
that
about it.
Runs, and it's rowdy.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. It's not one of those hollows from that Soul Society we've heard so much about.
Yeah, you're crossing franchises again.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait till I find that one piece.
I'm just not going to laugh anymore.
Oh, man.
Take all the yeah. laughter from me.
Just don't humor
Call me Sailor Jupiter, you know what I'm saying?
No.
I have something I would like to say to respond, but I don't think I can say it on air, so...
Can I guess? Can I guess
Yeah,
now?
Please.
is it...
What's this? It's a game?
I know, right? There's still a game show going on. Is it Primeape?
It is not Primeape.
Oh.
Kim, you ready for the steal?
Yeah, because that was my first guess, and I have a second guess, so I'm excited about this.
Go for it.
All right, they fight each other by locking horns.
Taurus!
What is it?
Tauros.
It is Tauros.
Darn, that All was right, my second Kim. Guess.
You ready?
Yeah. No, it's Kim's turn.
That's what I said. I said Kim.
Oh, I thought you said
Kim.
Sorry.
Oh.
Jeez, guys.
Apparently
you
so
ready?
Did she.
Yes, Josh. I'll take name that Pokemon for 500.
All right. Not for 500, though, Kim. You're messing up.
For one.
Electricity runs across the surface of its body. In darkness, its entire body glows a whitish blue.
Wait, what was the first part?
Electricity runs across the surface of its body. Oh. In darkness, its entire body glows a whitish blue.
Whitish blue?
Yeah, speaking of blue, how about that Death Note? Oh, me.
How does that have anything to do with blue?
I'm going
to
take this one from Pokemon Snap, and I think it's Electabuzz.
It is Electabuzz. All right, yeah. Becky, are you ready?
Maybe.
All right.
She's so ready, I can feel it.
Working on
I like how you're cheering on your opponent.
She's doing better than me, so apparently it's working.
Actually, it's 4-3 your turn, so...
Oh, what?
Really? Kim with 4, you have 3, yeah.
Oh.
So this is an extremely rare Pokemon. This extremely rarely seen marine Pokemon. Its intelligence is said to match that of humans.
Oh, crap. Dragonair?
You're going with Dragonair? Is that your final answer?
I don't think so, because, I mean, I don't know, it's not really marine. I guess it is, because you fish for it, but I don't know. It's a dragon type.
Usually fish are in the desert.
What?
We're going to need a final answer.
I don't know if it's marine, but you'd fish for it, so it's...
Becky, we're going to need that answer.
Sorry. A rare marine Pokemon. It's really smart. Well, it's not Magikarp. I got that much. Because it's not rare or intelligent.
Hey, that's discriminatory against Magikarps.
But it's true. See?
I don't even have a smart response.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm gonna go
need
with
an answer.
I'm going with Dragonair because I can't think of anything else.
Dragonair is not the correct answer. Kim for the seal.
Get it wrong.
Kim, are you ready?
Get it wrong. Get it wrong. Get it wrong.
It is said to make its home somewhere in the sea. It guides crews of shipwrecks to shore.
Oh, I think I know what it is now. Darn.
I'm deciding between two. Either Dragonair.
Decide the wrong one. Decide the wrong one.
Well, you know, Becky, that's just normal competitive nature that I should accept.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna evolve Becky's Pokemon and go with Dragonite.
It is Dragonite.
Darn, why did you guess the right one?
All right. Kim, it's yours. It's 5-3 you. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. It trains by lifting rocks in the mountains. It can even pick up a Graveler with ease.
Huh. This is actually one of the first descriptions that is, I think I've heard recently. So, you're taking these from all the games, right?
I'm taking these from all the games, and this one you should not hear have heard recently.
Oh, well, I don't know. I've been playing Pokemon Yellow recently, so just so you know.
No, it's not the one from Pokemon Yellow.
Well, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I guess clearly. You're not. I'm calling you out on this podcast.
So, well, no, changing the tone from that. Gotta build in one, I suppose. Like, Machop?
Is that your final answer?
It's my second answer, but I'm going to go with it.
All right. It is Machop.
Woo!
All right, so now...
Why do you always guess the right ones? Stop guessing the right ones.
I feel really lucky today. This is great.
It's now 6-3, Kim, and I'm going to start handing out those power-ups. So,
okay. But
now I totally forgot about some of these easier ones, so it might be a little bit easier. All right, Becky, are you ready?
Sure.
Its brain cannot perform a supercomputer. Its intelligence quotient is said to be 5,000.
Ooh.
Is it Alakazam?
It is Alakazam.
Because I actually think I did read that one recently.
All right, Kim, are you ready?
Yeah. Yes.
This Pokemon is said to live in huge colonies deep in jungles, although no one has ever returned from
there. What?
This is its first description. Said to live in huge colonies deep in jungles, although no one has ever returned from there.
So, you know, people all die.
Tangela.
You're going to go with Tangela? Is that your final answer?
I mean, yeah. It popped in my head.
I'm sorry, Kim. Becky for the steal.
I want to know how they know it lives in huge colonies.
With the sweet aroma of honey. Swallowed whole, the prey is melted in a day, bones and all.
What?
Yeah. This is a dark Pokemon.
I don't know if I'm going to hang out with this Pokemon.
Ooh.
Again, lures prey with the sweet aroma of honey. Swallowed whole, the prey is melted in a day, bones and all.
I have like an idea, but I'm like, no, that one's so nice. I don't think about him.
It's the gangster Pokemon.
The gangster Pokemon?
Because all gangsta Pokemon eat bones.
No, not gangsta. Like gangster. Like, you know, gangster. you like we're gonna kill you and hide the body inside this Pokemon.
1920s gangster.
Yeah.
Hiding the body inside the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Is it Victory Bell?
It is Victory Bell.
Yay! Because I was like, it's the only one I think big enough to eat a person and mean enough. It tried to do that to James again. A lot.
It's 5-6. Kim, with this, you can tie it back up. Are you ready? Man.
Okay. I didn't realize I was behind by one. Okay, yes.
No, you're ahead by one.
Oh, wait, but you said you can tie it up.
She can tie it up.
Oh, wait, we're starting. Right!
Right.
Yes.
See,
guys, seriously.
We keep forgetting which person's turn. Look, I live
I said
in a
who
podium.
It is.
We're trying to be encouraging.
You know what? Here, I'm crumpling up. Look, see what I'm doing? I'm crumpling up this card. I'm throwing it at your head.
I'm a teacher by day. I don't have energy for this.
All right.
It slowly
Jeez.
Floated over and hit me.
You made me rumple my suit. All right. Let's get back to this. All right.
It's a nasty suit.
I don't know if you want to go out like that.
This Pokemon. As it grows, the stone portions of its body harden to become similar to a diamond, but colored black.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'm trying to logic this out. It works for Kim. Like, it's got stone portions and they're black?
I think I have an idea. Because, like, none of the Pokemon are really, like, of the 151 are, like, really totally black. So I don't think that's entirely accurate.
True. Well, I think I'm going to guess Onyx.
It is Onyx. You Woo! Have tied it up. It is 6-6. You each
Son
still
of
have
a
your.
Beach.
Son yeah. of a beach.
So, but it's still whoever gets the 10 first. I'm sorry. But that's if, true. You know, we'll might tie it up and
it's a race
go
to a
lightning
end.
Round and all that and all
Let's
that
do
stuff.
This.
So.
All right. My turn.
All right.
Settle
An
down.
Enigmatic Pokemon that can effortlessly. I can talk.
Yeah, you
it's
went to school
podcast.
For that.
I went to school so I could talk. This Pokemon can effortlessly regenerate any appendage it loses in battle.
That's creepy.
I'm gonna go with Staryu.
It is Staryu. Seven
to
six.
Way to be like a real starfish there, Staryu.
Look at her being all relying on actual real world knowledge.
Tough fights could excite this Pokemon, Becky. When excited, it may blow out white flames. I'm sorry, bluish white flames.
Bluish white flame. You said tough fights can excite this Pokemon?
Tough fights could excite this Pokemon, and when excited, it may blow out bluish white flames.
Hot, hot, hot. Well, I'm guessing it's a fire Pokemon because it blows fire.
I think you're
saying Dragonite breathes fire.
You should probably guess grass type. That sounds more reliable.
Yeah, no.
Kim, see this? Here's two now. Two old cards that I used. I'm throwing them at your head. Here comes Victory Bell and Raticate.
It missed.
Yeah, well, here comes my shoe. It's super effective.
Oh, God.
Your nose is bleeding. Shut up.
Duck under that.
Duck into my home under the
duck and roll.
It's on fire.
It's all on you.
Is it Charmeleon, maybe?
It is Charmeleon.
Yay!
War Turtle.
All right, 7-7.
It's War Turtle. What are you talking about?
No, I'm thinking of the Pokerap. It's Charmeleon.
Right. War Turtle.
Mewtwo, Tentacruel, Pterodactyl.
It's Aerodactyl, all
right? Right, Slowpoke. Yeah, no, I know that. I got excited.
Kim, are you ready?
Yeah.
With its acute hearing, it can pick up sounds from far away. It usually hides in quiet places.
With its ears. Okay. So a Pokemon that hides and can hear really far. All the ones I keep thinking of aren't timid, so I'm trying to think of like a timid Pokemon. With
logic.
big so ears. Well, I'm sorry. It seems to be gotten me pretty far here, hasn't it?
Well, while you're doing that, because this joke hasn't died, I'll be hanging out over here with Spike Spiegel.
Yeah, that joke died. Like,
shut up. I think it's Clefairy.
You think it's Clefairy? Is it your final answer? What do you think, Stampede?
Wait, Clefable, because that has bigger ears.
Right? You know, Clefable, right? Is that your final answer?
Throw a moonstone at it. I'm going with it.
All right, it is Clefable. Wow. You threw a moonstone. It evolved. All right, Becky, are you ready?
Yeah. Go for it.
As I'm running out of Pokemon, I'm sad.
Somebody needs to start sucking.
151, Josh.
I know, but this gentle soul—this is a gentle soul that can read the minds of people. It can ferry people across the sea.
Lapras?
It is Lapras.
I was to say, that one was, kind of easy.
All right, so it's 8-8.
Woo!
Okay.
You go down.
It has a calm and caring nature. Because its horn grows slowly, it prefers not to fight, Kim.
I kind of want to say Rhydon. Wait, so it has a calm nature, horn grows slowly. Or we can go with stereotypes and go with, like, a girl Pokemon.
That may be a good guess.
Nidorina.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
It is Nidorina.
I totally knew that.
All right. So Becky.
Is it 8-9?
It is 8-9, Kim.
Oh, okay. Why is 6-8-7? Because 7-8-9.
All right.
You're so lame.
This one is going to be... This one should be pretty easy.
Ooh, bring it. Bring it.
Once it strikes, it will not stop draining energy from the victim, even if it gets too heavy to fly.
Oh, man.
This is for Becky.
I know, I'm working on it.
Once it strikes, it will not stop draining energy from the victim, even if it gets too heavy to fly.
Sounds like a pretty dumb Pokemon.
Does sound like
Hey, this dumb. Pokemon is pretty great sometimes.
I can judge. Sometimes. I am a Pokemon master.
Okay, well, it drains energy. That's several different flying types, but, I mean... There's two I'm thinking of. It's that evolution thing again. Do you go with the bigger one or not?
Right.
Let's guess Zubat.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
It is not Zubat. Damn. Kim for the steal.
Golbat.
It is Golbat. Kim.
Becky.
No.
Kim for the win.
Thank you, Becky.
I hate you.
Guys, that came so down much. To the wire, and for what it's worth, the final Pokemon, the tiebreaker, would have been Pharaoh, and there is no way to identify that from any other flying Pokemon, apparently. So,
well, dang.
Really glad it ended when it did. All right, so
I totally had
come
that
down from the podium. Maybe. I'm gonna walk over to Kim. I'm gonna pick up my shoe. Hold on.
Whoa, too close.
I'm putting back a shoe back on. Jesus. Okay. All right, so Kim, anything you want to tell the viewers back home?
Absolutely not, Josh.
All right. Becky, anything you want to tell the kids who aspire to be a Pokemon master?
Try and get it on the first guess because some jerk is going to steal it from you on the second.
And isn't that just life in a nutshell? If you don't get it on the first guess, some jerk's going to come along and steal it. Just like my first wife. I'm dead inside. So... This is Josh Max from Name That Pokemon signing off.
His first wife.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. I promise we'll read it. And if you've got a chance, please rate and review the show on iTunes.